Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, if you're a musician, you play an instrument, right? You might compose your own works. You might play concerts for others, right? That's just what musicians do. And yet, in 1764, during a stopover in London, one musician was tested and examined by British lawyer and naturalist Daines Barrington. Barrington couldn't believe that this musician was doing those things. But that's weird. I mean, didn't Barrington know that's what musicians do? Why make such a big fuss about it? Well, because this particular musician was only 8 years old. This Austrian-born wonder kid began playing the harpsichord at age 3, published his first piece of music when he was 5, and by his teen years had already written a number of concertos, sonatas, operas, and symphonies. Today, many of us often forget that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a child prodigy. Or consider the story of a painter who was admitted to the prestigious Barcelona Art School. Just 1 year after entering, he completed a work called First Communion, which was an astonishingly mature work. And it would become one of 22,000 works that this artist made over his 8-decade career. His artistic skill, though, started at an early age. As the son of a painter, it's said that he could draw before he could talk. And when he finally did talk, the story is that his first words were to ask his mother for a pencil. Eventually, Pablo Picasso was admitted to the Barcelona Art School at the age of 14. Or think of the story of the first and only American to win the World Chess Championship in 1972. He began playing chess when he was 6, a kindergartner. By age 12, he was competing against the best American players. Then at age 15, before he could even drive, Bobby Fischer won the U.S. Open Chess Championship and became a grandmaster. So hearing about musicians playing instruments, or artists who paint, or chess players who win championships, all of that is common. What is uncommon, and what leaves us all amazed, is when kids do these things. Right. Kids should not be able to write concertos or have a masterpiece in a museum or be a chess champion, right? Kids should be in school and playing and hanging out with their friends. They shouldn't be able to do these things. And yet, sometimes they do. This amazement that we have with child prodigies is the same kind of amazement that we find in this Acts 2 reading today. Right, this is the famous story of Pentecost. So before Jesus ascended, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they had been clothed with power from on high. So on this particular day, they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Yes, there was a Jewish one before there was a Christian one. And the Jewish Pentecost, sometimes called Shavuot, is a time when they celebrated the first fruits of the wheat harvest. It's also a time to remember when Moses received the commandments from God on Mount Sinai, 7 weeks after Passover. So in other words, the disciples were all gathered together with lots of other people from all over the place for this major Jewish holiday. And yet, on this particular day, the Holy Spirit came upon them in a wonderful way. Let me pause here for a moment and say that I don't really like all those Pentecost paintings that show the disciples with the little flame over their heads, because I don't think that's what this day is about. The text says that divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. It does not say that the tongues were fire, but rather they were as of fire. They were like fire. It's a simile, not a description. Also, tongue does not just mean a little flame. Tongue is also language, as in your mother tongue. So we could say that the disciples' tongues were metaphorically set on fire. There was a new energy to their proclamation of the gospel, and it made sense to those who heard it. That's the fire of the Spirit, my friends. It's not about their hair turning into a little candle wick. When people understand the gospel, then that is the Holy Spirit at work. Now, I have heard this Pentecost story countless times. And the emphasis always seems to be on how these disciples were given the ability to speak these languages that made sense to other people. Even the crowds who heard them were amazed at this. And even though that's a big part of it, this past week, something else struck me. The people are not just amazed at hearing these languages. They're amazed at the people who are speaking them. Right? Listen again to the crowd. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" In other words, the reaction of the crowd to the disciples is the same reaction we have to those child prodigies. The fact that musicians make music, or painters paint, or chess players win championships is common. What is uncommon is when these things are done by kids. Hearing people speak in languages that you understand is common. People communicate that way all the time. What is uncommon is when it's a group of blue-collar guys from Galilee who are doing it. So this means that the reaction of the crowd on Pentecost, their bewilderment, amazement, astonishment, perplexity, all of this is because of the messengers, not the message. They are not surprised by what is being said, but rather by who is saying it. And yet, because of the Holy Spirit, these guys from Galilee are able to do it. And so are you. Because of the Holy Spirit, you can share the good news of Jesus with others too. Think for a moment about how others view you. Maybe they see you as just a grandma or grandpa figure. Maybe they see you as just an employee or a working parent. Maybe they see you as just a child or any number of things, right? People make all sorts of judgments about you. And in so doing, they also decide what they think you should and shouldn't be able to do. They might think you're too old, you're too young, you're too introverted, too extroverted, whatever. right? Or think about it like gender roles. How often do we still think that X is something only a woman should do, and Y is something only a man should do? Simply because you fit in this category, people think you should or shouldn't be able to do certain things. And yet, my friends, whether you are a man or a woman, however old you are, whatever skills and abilities you have, the Holy Spirit has been given to you. You can share the love of Jesus with others, regardless of what other people think about you. That's the promise of Pentecost. Listen again to what Peter says to the crowd. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The Spirit is given to everyone. And maybe that sounds really great, but how can you tell people about Jesus? Because maybe you don't think you can. Well, part of the problem might be in how you view yourself. Maybe all of those outside voices that tell you what you can or can't do have found their way into your head. And so you keep repeating them to yourself. You say things like, "Oh, I'm too old, let somebody else do it." Or, "I'm too busy, I don't have time to do it." Or, "I don't know enough, I wouldn't know how to do it." Imagine what those first disciples had said to themselves. "Oh, we're just fishermen. Who are we that God could use us?" Or, "We betrayed Jesus and ran away from him. Why would he want to change the world through us?" Or, "I'm too scared. I wouldn't even know where to start." Even if they had made excuses like that, God didn't listen to them. The Holy Spirit was still poured out upon them. And the Holy Spirit is still poured out upon you. There is no excuse you can give that will prevent the Holy Spirit from being given to you. God trusts you that much. And if you don't think you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, just think about the fact that you're baptized. Or think about how in just a moment here, Xander is going to affirm his baptism. Right? Xander, today we celebrate with you that God has empowered you to share the good news of the world. To the rest of the world, you might just seem like a teenage boy. A nobody special. A regular, average, ordinary kid. But you're not. You, like everyone else here, have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you come forward here in just a moment, we will pray for that Spirit to move even more in your life. Listen to that prayer. "We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you have given us new birth. Cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Xander the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. This is the amazing promise of Pentecost, my friends. Each of us, all of us, we who are ordinary people with insecurities and fears, we have still been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. God can and God does work through us. We can tell others how Jesus is at work in the world. And yes, that happens all the time. Right? Plenty of people tell others about Jesus. Plenty of people share his love with the world. But the amazing thing, the shocking thing, the unexpected thing, is that we, here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, this little white church on the corner, we are the ones who get to do it. Who would have imagined that? So whether you're a teenage boy or an elderly woman, a child, an adult, a man, a woman, someone with lots of friends, someone with a few friends, an introvert, an extrovert, whatever, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have received that power. God trusts you to tell others about his love. And when we do that together, like those first disciples did, then we can change the world in Jesus' name. Just watch how people's lives are changed when we speak. That's Pentecost. So in the name of the one who gives all of us his Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.